This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Keeping Up with the Kafashians. As always, thank you so much for subscribing. Thank you so much for listening. We really value your time and your listenership. And how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very relaxed this week.
We've had a week off. We decided not to go anywhere.
Yeah, staycationing. I'm a big fan of staycationing.
Or do anything.
Yeah, bed rot.
I'm bored out of my...
Afif doesn't do well with bed rot. I welcome bed rot. Like, I'll watch an entire series and just flake and then kind of veg out with the kids and walk the dog. And I think that's quality time spent.
Walk the dog? I did most of the walking the dog while you stayed in bed.
50-50, let's be honest. I battled up the mountains with the dog, in fairness.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
And we started watching this new show.
The Three Body Problem.
Very intriguing. We've only one episode in, but I'm intrigued. So hopefully it'll keep us busy for the next couple of days until the end of the Easter holidays. And what's next then? What's the next big event coming up? The little matter of our wedding anniversary.
I wasn't sure what you were getting at there.
Can I just have this on record that the man actually has remembered?
Yes. And now, in fairness, I did say it the other day. I said that, like, actually, we're recording this on the Monday and tomorrow. Oh, no, on the Sunday. And tomorrow we are 19 years together. That's right. Met on April Fool's Day.
We met on April
Fool's
Day.
I did say it last week. I did kind of register some anniversary vibes. I just haven't really locked it in there. I would say it's 50-50. Some years we remember and some
years
we forget.
Last year we both forgot.
Pretty
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just that, like, we're kind of just rolling with it now. We're kind of into the long run. Nobody's going anywhere, so.
I got you a present. Did you get me anything?
Nope. Nope. Me.
You're my present.
I am your gift. Yes.
You know what present Anne gives me? Anne gives me the present of letting me buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
Within reason, I'd just like to say I'm not completely mental.
I'm impossible to buy for.
Oh, like, it's just not possible, because if he says there's something that he wants, you'll get the wrong type or the wrong, not enough. If it's techie, there's not enough memory, or there's the wrong speed, or the some blid blid. It's all techie tech. So my gift is that within reason, he gets whatever he wants. And I'm like, fair play to you. That's nice. And don't ask any questions. And that's the best gift, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's sometimes hard to remember what day we got married, because we kind of had more than one wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a very nice Muslim ceremony. And then 4 days later, we had another wedding ceremony in my hometown of Mayo.
I was so nervous. The clash of cultures. I was like, this is untapped territory.
I don't think I was...
You weren't nervous.
I was nervous. No, yeah. Because I think, like, we both have big, gregarious families who are very centered on family togetherness. And I just felt like they would just blend. And they did.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Like, it was amazing. It was brilliant.
And my dad and your dad got on well, I think.
They got on so well. It was lovely.
Yeah. So an Irish... I mean, let's face it. Your dad is a farmer, first and foremost.
Ah, no. He was always a businessman. He always had different businesses, shops and stuff like that. He farmed in his retirement.
Okay.
He's not a farmer by... He always would have liked to have been a farmer. And then he farmed in retirement. Yeah.
And my dad grew up in a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until he went and did medicine. He literally was... He used to tell
it was
me
an
that
olive
he, used
farm.
To, he used to do his homework on top of a donkey on the way to the olive farm to pick up the olives.
And I then, love it. See, my dad would relate to all of that.
And then apparently he used to get in trouble for doing his homework because he had to go and do olive farming, whatever that is.
Yeah, so he'd get in trouble for taking the time to do his homework rather than getting on with the work.
Exactly.
Yeah. My dad was related to that stuff too. And my mum will remember is like when she was very little, because she's all about music. Yeah. You know, and she remembers she would have gotten the donkey to the bus.
There's always a donkey involved in those stories. Always,
this is like West of Ireland, 19 kind of 30s, 40s kind of stuff, you know.
I think West of Ireland and the West Bank have a lot in common.
This is true.
Yeah, exactly.
This is true. I've always said that they really, really do kind of, they remind me so much of each other in terms of culture and stuff and relatability.
My favorite, though, my absolute favorite was when my dad approached your dad for the small matter of the dowry.
Oh, yeah. Okay, bit of context though, because like in Ireland, the dowry is this abandoned, horrendous idea that you had to pay somebody to take your daughter off their hands, like, which is a terrible thing.
So let me set the scene. So my dad, basically, with your dad's obviously knowledge that the dowry is traditionally the father of the bride pays to the father of the groom in Ireland.
Yeah, so she comes with the dowry.
She comes with the dowry.
Which is a terrible thing when you think about it.
So then my dad very kind of sheepishly shuffles up to your dad and he goes, so, Mr. Brendan, can we discuss the dowry?
I'd say my dad nearly had a heart attack. God bless him. I think he probably just kept a poker face but died a bit on the inside.
And then your dad was like, the dowry. And he was trying to be very polite.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course, we cannot proceed without the dowry.
Now, do you want to clear up what the dowry is on the Arab side of me?
Not realizing that it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Where we come from, where the father of the groom pays the father of the bride the dowry. And then I can never forget your dad when he realized that it was the other way around. It's like, so you're taking her off my back and you're paying me for it. Welcome to the family.
I loved my dad's sense of humor.
Of course, it ended
so
up being
good.
A very nominal thing. But, you know. The other lol was when my entire family walked into the church for the first time.
I know, thought it was like a movie set.
You see, the wedding, the religious bit in Islam it's literally a 5-minute job.
It's like a signing of a marriage contract.
You literally sit down and do the end bit that happens at the back end of the church.
Yeah. And it's done.
That's it,
yeah. And then the celebration is separate to all of that. That happens like months later sometimes.
And you have to be asked 3 times.
Yeah, I was asked 3 times.
Yes, to make sure that you weren't coerced into this sham marriage. You
know? Actually, it was really nice because the imam translated everything that he was doing from Arabic into English so that my relations were all in the room.
Yeah.
So that everyone could totally understand how what was being discussed and kind of it was actually really sweet. And then he asked me 3 times, was I sure I wanted to marry her? And I was a little bit tempted to take the piss, but I said no, probably not the setting.
I know, I was on the 3rd time, I was like, come on, cut it out, just keep going.
Can you imagine if I went actually, now that you mention it?
And then do you remember he also asked for me to show my, because I wasn't Irish at the time, he wanted to see my residency permit and my Irish green card to make sure that this wasn't you know, a marriage of convenience, that I was marrying you just to stay in Ireland.
I think they did really good due diligence and fairness on my behalf and fairness. They really did.
There was no shamming.
There's no getting away with anything.
And by the way, I got my Irish passport independently. I did not get it
through
marriage.
Such a thing about this.
Yeah, I got it because I earned it myself.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That's absolutely, I've never claimed otherwise, but okay.
And then when my family walked into the church and they thought, this is...
Oh, it's like a movie set. Because they see Western culture weddings on TV, but they'd never been to a Catholic or a Christian wedding in real life. So for them, it was just like a whole movie set. It was hilarious. It was so funny.
And the standing, the sitting, the kneeling confused them a lot as well.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah. That's always good. But sure, it confuses a lot of people at weddings. Let's be honest. People don't go to mass as frequently as they used to. So a lot of people get confused.
I really had no idea how that was going to end, but it actually ended well. It was fine.
I thought it was amazing. I thought it was lovely. And I thought the wedding reception was so good. And your family danced all night.
Yeah.
All night. Yeah. It was just amazing. It was just, it was seamless. It was just seamless.
Do you remember my uncle that kept goading the photographer?
Uncle Ali. He's a legend.
So the photographer would line us up for this perfect shot and then my uncle would usually step in front of the photographer and take a picture
and say, well done.
take a picture and say, thank you. And he did that like a few times and then the photographer got really annoyed.
A little bit.
And then what did my uncle do?
Because
you know the way that the photographs sometimes take months to arrive.
Months.
And this was back and the photographer we hired wasn't digital, he was all film. Like he was old
a friend
school.
Of my mom's as well.
Actually the photographs look amazing.
They're amazing.
They're really old school film, not digital. Took him ages to develop them to make sure they came out perfect. Yeah. So what did my uncle do after the end of the wedding? He popped into Ballina town, printed them all.
Printed all his photos, which were identical to the actual photographer's photos.
Put them in a wedding album and plonked them in front of the photographer and said, here you go, I beat you.
And then gave them to us at our wedding reception, which I thought was amazing. It was really good.
Yeah, because you didn't have to wait for months and months and months.
No, we had our pictures immediately.
I know. Anyway, did you listen to this week's episode of The Baby Tribe?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I did, yeah.
I did, yeah. So that sounds like a very Irish, I did, yeah.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I did, yeah.
So in fairness to Anne, I only finished editing it a few minutes ago, so we didn't have time to listen. But it was an incredible interview with Anna Geary, who I'm a big fan of. Oh, and by the way, I didn't tell you this. We are, there's a new season of Ireland's Fittest Family.
No.
That she's hosting.
No.
And have signed us up.
No.
So me, you and the two children are going to be on Ireland's Fittest Family.
Okay. And actually, I had a note here of something that I wanted to talk to you about. And I'm just actually perfect segue in because I had kind of left it aside. You training me at the gym and how we didn't fight about it.
Oh, yes. We did go to the gym.
So if we do a Fittest Family thing, that will not be the case, you see.
Why?
Because you'll get all Eye of the Tiger. And I will get out of my face.
No, we'll help each other.
No, not doing it.
Maggie's been running. She's been training. I think we'll do very well. No. Anna said we'd be the perfect family for it.
Never. No. I wish you well. Go find another family, Afif.
Actually, when I mentioned it to Katie, she was like, yeah, you're going to have to find another wife.
Did Katie say that?
And another two children, yeah.
She knows me well, but I'm kind of offended at the same time.
It's my bucket list. So it's on my bucket list. I really want to go on the show.
Well, go find your other family. Do you have another family somewhere secreted away that...
If there's anybody out there that wants to lend me their family for a while to do Ireland's Fittest Family, I'd love to talk to you.
You'll have to move in with that family though.
But anyway.
Looking at months of freedom in my house. This is amazing.
Fine, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
We talked about the... bounce back culture a little bit and how there's a huge pressure on mums to actually look amazing and look good after a few weeks and that the 6-week check is the final check before you're
it's crazy
no longer monitored.
It's crazy.
And you know, in season two there was the theme was it takes months, sometimes a couple of years to fully recover.
Well, it takes you 10 months to get to a term physiology. Like the fact that you're meant to get back to being perfectly non-pregnant, even better than before, bionic, in 6 weeks is wild in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, the 6-week check, I think, is more to do with screening for appropriate tissue healing and making sure that pregnancy disorders like preeclampsia and things like that have settled back down again, rather than saying that, congratulations, you're now not pregnant. Like, you have recovered. You haven't. It takes a lot longer than that.
And a lot of the mums that were on season two were very vocal and honest about how it's taken them months and months and months to recover. Mm-hmm. And Anna Geary did say that she was still recovering, you know, 7-8 months in.
Yep.
And she is a strong and trained athlete. Mm-hmm. So if someone like her is struggling, then let alone somebody that's not as, you know, athletic, that can take them a while to recover.
Well, I think that we need to understand maybe a little bit more in detail about the kind of physiology that women adopt in pregnancy, because it is absolutely wild. It's so amazing that 50% of the population have the potential to achieve this kind of physiology. And I wanted to go through it maybe stage by stage a little bit, not all today because it'll just go on for ages and ages and ages, but maybe every week, like discuss a new element of what women's bodies achieve, so that when women who are pregnant or when partners of women who are pregnant see that she's exhausted or that she's, you know, this, that and the other, and she looks like perfectly the same as she did like a few weeks ago, it's because she's doing so much more on the inside. And good recognition and appreciation of that is key. So I just wanted to kind of talk about, even before a woman knows that she is pregnant, in the first few days and up to like a couple of weeks after fertilization, there's a huge amount of shift already happening in her body, even in her immune system. And we talk about women being immunomodulated rather than immunosuppressed. In pregnancy, because they still have a very competent immune system, but it's been altered by the pregnancy, and it's that way for a very specific set of reasons. In the days after fertilization, there's already changes occurring in the maternal immune system. The fertilized egg starts to divide and it forms a bundle of cells that become organized into an outer sphere, and that'll become the placenta and the membranes. And inside there's a bundle of cells, an inner mass, that'll become the fetus, okay? But remember, the fetus is 50% genetically different to the mother. And for example, they can have a different blood type to the mother. Anyone who's had contact with a person who needed an organ transplant or even a blood transfusion will know how dangerous it could be to put a genetically different organ or a wrong blood type into another person. So transplant patients require like a huge array of immunosuppressive medications to tolerate even the best matched organs.
And that's the essence, I suppose, of our immune system, because even when it comes to viruses and bacteria, the way the immune system works is by recognizing that this genetic material is foreign to our body.
100%.
And therefore, let's start getting rid of it.
Yeah. So it starts to amplify that recognition and that inflammatory response. Okay. So obviously, if you have somebody else's genetic material sitting in your body, and that is something that you want to keep there, there has to be a specific means of tolerating that. So for transplanted organs, we suppress that part of the immune system. We render it completely incompetent. But in pregnancy, it's far more intricate and far more elegant. Okay, so it becomes modulated. What happens is the placental membranes are coded for by the father's genes, which seems counterintuitive, actually. So it's not achieved by cloaking the fetus in maternal proteins. It's actually paternal proteins that are sitting there. And what happens is that they express a specific marker that triggers the immune system to tolerate all of those proteins, okay? And tells the maternal immune system that, yeah, this is totally different to you, but just relax. This is okay. And then the uterine immune cells then communicate that to the rest of the body as well.
So it's okay for the dad's genes to tell the maternal genes to relax.
Yeah.
But if I told you to just chill out and relax in
totally
real life,
different.
I get in so much trouble.
100%. Two different kinds of hard coding there. Hardwired to tolerate your proteins, but not your behavior. That's slightly different.
But that's very interesting. And it's actually, you're actually also communicating without knowing that you're communicating. Your genes are communicating.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So like it's amazing because what it means is like the mothers not only tolerate the fetus without any medical input, okay, but they nurture the growth of that baby within themselves. So it's not just tolerance, it is actually nurturing. That tolerance that is promoted then allows the placenta to develop in a way that accesses the mother's blood supply so the baby can get nutrients, oxygen, all of those things. Okay, it's one of those wild evolutionary magic tricks. And our placentation is very deep in some ways. It deeply accesses those vessels and comparatively to other species that have placental circulations as well. And it's actually that immune tolerance, if it's faulty, is one of the reasons why things like preeclampsia, one of the reasons why early pregnancy loss and things like that can happen to people. One of the myriad of reasons, not the only reason, but it is one of the myriad of reasons why it can happen. With preeclampsia, if that immune tolerance isn't complete, the placenta doesn't get as much access to the maternal blood supply and doesn't get to transform them into this big kind of conduits of blood supply in the uterus that gives the baby basically unlimited access to maternal nutrients and resources. And without that unlimited access, then you get a placenta that's struggling to provide the baby with the nutrition that it needs. And actually a lot of those, what people talk about, the great obstetric syndromes like placental abruption and all those kind of things can happen if the placenta doesn't develop in a way that would be ideal. Fetal growth restriction, all of those kind of things are tied in. So the immune response is one of those facets that happens within weeks of fertilization before the pregnancy test is even done. It can actually kind of set the scene for the rest of the placental and fetal development, you know? So I just think it's wild, something that we have evolved that is so intricate and that we can never achieve through medication, and we do it without any awareness whatsoever.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. Mm. And it then explains the potential for things to go wrong because it's such an intricate thing.
It's absolutely 100%.
And we're still not fully aware of all the different things that can go wrong.
Oh, no. We can't hugely complicated. Yeah. Like, this is literally one element of the first couple of weeks of pregnancy. And it's a foundational element, but it tells us why things like preeclampsia or sometimes recurrent fetal loss or recurrent miscarriage, those kind of things, can be diseases of families, of couples, you know. It's not just down to one woman not being able to maintain a pregnancy or get pregnant or anything like that. It is a myriad of things that can be tweaked, and that's why we have early pregnancy loss clinics, maternal and fetal medicine experts, fertility experts, all of those things. But it just shows you how nuanced it is. And it's not about whether a woman is the right size, healthy enough, all of those things. It is not just that simple. You know, it's complicated and it's not necessarily within your control in that way.
Yeah, and that's an important point to emphasize, is that
it's about a couple. It's about genetics. It's about immune amplification. It's about so many other things, you know. So I just think that that's one thing that we possibly need to be aware of around fertility and around early pregnancy.
And that's important because there's always feelings of guilt, mostly on the mother's side, if things aren't happening, or the woman's side.
Yeah.
And people forget that it actually takes two to tango.
100%. And it's interesting because with things like placental dysfunction, there is paternal element to it. If a man has a pregnancy with a woman and that pregnancy is affected by placental dysfunction, like early onset preeclampsia or something like that, if he has if he gets another woman pregnant, there's a much higher chance of that woman having preeclampsia or placental dysfunction as well. And that's related to his genetics and how his genetics and his immune tolerance is promoted within the female body for the development of the fetus.
Because, as you said, the signal comes from the male.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really something that I think we just, it doesn't hurt to have awareness that these things are disorders of couples and families. It doesn't mean necessarily make it any easier for anyone to deal with, because it's tough going.
Yeah.
But to understand that it is something that is not, it's not anybody's fault. It's just how people's immune system and genetics interact.
It's just something that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we spoke previously about how, you know, genetics can determine a lot of things, and how our bodies express those genes can differ from person to person as well. So, and a lot of the time we don't know what the triggers are for the different expression of those genes. So we're still trying to find out these things, because then we can actually hopefully develop treatments that can alleviate or reduce the risk of those things happening.
100%. And it's funny because there is a whole immune education component that happens with a successful pregnancy as well. We'll discuss in other episodes how, like, the maternal cardiovascular system is never the same after you've brought one baby to term. Your heart is never the same again. And I don't mean figuratively, I mean literally as well. You know, there's so many things that change in the female body once you've had one baby, but also in the maternal immune system. If even after recurrent miscarriages, sometimes, depending on the etiology of the underlying problem, sometimes if there's an immune component, your immune system is educated by that successful pregnancy and the issues aren't necessarily as great in subsequent pregnancies. So there's, you know, there's so much dynamic processes that go on in a woman's body. It's absolutely wild. Yeah. So, you know, you don't have to be super duper fit or super duper healthy. Not like even on Ireland's Fittest Family.
I really think we should go on that show.
I really, really, really don't want to be
so,
on that show.
So hypothetically speaking, if I do apply
with your alternative family.
With this current family that I have and I love, and we got on the show, would you just say no?
Yeah.
Really?
100%.
I think it'll be amazing.
Nope.
And you know,
and where in the midst of all your research, neonatology, podcasting, art, like, where do you find the time? Where do you propose to find the time for training?
We'll take sabbatical. We'll take a sabbatical, and we will do it. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's not going to happen. Please stop. Please, I'm actually tired just thinking about it. I'm not even joking.
I was saying on the main pod that I think,
like,
I would.
Do you remember how we started off talking about how I'm such a fan of bed rot?
Yes.
Like, and you want to go on Ireland's Fittest Family?
I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I think I would, you know the challenge that I think I would ace? I think I'd ace the challenge of hanging over the lake. You know
I
that
would,
one?
Sure, my shoulder, banjax.
So you can't do that with your shoulder.
I'd absolutely destroy, I'd be destroyed.
But I think I would actually beat whatever record there is.
Because you don't want to get in the water.
Not because I'm strong, but because of my morbid fear.
Of cold water.
I'd say I'd be hanging there. They'd turn off the cameras and they'd be safe if you can get down now.
That's so like, true. No. I would actually, I'd just swim around underneath you. They'd like pull me over it and I'd just be like 10 seconds, done. Yeah. Swimming around in the water, happy, cold.
Yeah, because you like going into the plunge pool in the gym and I don't know.
I love going into 40 foot.
How you do it. It's absolutely crazy.
I know, I love it.
And again, I said in the main pod that I'm in Ireland nearly 30 years and I'm yet to dip into the sea.
Yeah, but you're miserable at the beach as well. Like, let's be honest.
Don't like sand.
Yeah, Arabs do not like sand. I'd just like to say that in general.
We live in it.
I know.
We grew up in it.
So Arab is to sand what Irish person is to rain.
Yeah. I don't mind the rain. I like the
rain. No, he loves the rain. Yeah,
it's nice. It's nice when it rains.
No, it's not.
It's the reason Ireland is green and people here are
ungrateful. I appreciate the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about it, yeah.
Do you remember when there was no rain for about 3 or 4 weeks a few years ago and all the grass turned yellow?
Yeah.
And Ireland was becoming more and more like Kuwait.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you do need the rain. So.
Oh, no, we do. I appreciate the need for it. I just wish it only rained at night.
Oh, when we were asleep.
Yeah.
And then it was dry in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a great system.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you found value. We will hopefully be back next week if we're still talking and not fighting. We had a bit of a fight earlier, but we had to make up very quickly before we recorded the podcast.
I've realized that if I fight with Afif before the podcast, he's guaranteed to apologize because he wants me to come out and do the pod.
So she saves all her fights just before.
For the morning that we're going to record. And then I just lay it all out. It's brilliant. Genius.
Amazing. See you next week.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.